Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our service of worship this morning in Sinfield Road Presbyterian Church. If you're visiting this morning, or if this is the first time you've ever been with us, then we offer you a very special welcome. There are also maybe some people joining on the live stream, so a big welcome to you as well. It's lovely to have you. This morning's service is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be led by the children and young people, along with all their leaders from the ARC, JCBs and Bible class. I'm sure some of you think on a Sunday morning when the church half empties and everyone goes out those doors, I wonder what they're doing. So this morning, we'd like you to experience some of the activities that the children take part in when they leave here and go through those doors at the back. We'd like you to join in and we'd like you to have fun, just as the children do every Sunday. But most of all, we want all of us to learn something new about our loving Father God and his Son Jesus. Let me read the first three verses from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Now we're going to talk to God together. We're going to pray. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can meet together every Sunday to worship you, to sing praises, and to talk to you in prayer. Thank you that we know that you love us all so much and you want us to love you in return. Help us to listen to your voice this morning as we worship you and to leave this place knowing that we have spent time with you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're all going to stand together and we're going to sing praise to our God using the words of two songs, Lord, reign in me, and then Jesus loves me. Let's stand and sing.
Sunset sky, you request, Lord, my only end. Each week at Senior Arc, we play a game to help us burn off some energy. We build relationships with our peers this morning. We would like to invite you to do the same. Hands up if you have ever played this word drill. You will find the Bible under your chair, and we ask that you use this and not your phone. I will call out a book, chapter, and verse of the Bible. You have to find it as quickly as possible and stand up. We will identify the first person up and ask them to read it out.
Yep, so I'm going to do a quick example of what this is going to look like. So I'm going to have our Bibles underneath our arms. And then we're going to draw them and up into the air. And then Charlie or myself is going to read out a verse. And then you've got to wait. And then we're going to say, go. And it's the first person then with their hand up or standing up. Depends how confident you are. And we'll come with the mic and maybe a wee prize to incentivize a few people to give it a go. So, right. So, underneath and ready. Draw our swords. Okay. And you read out the first one there, Charlie.
John chapter 3, verse 16.
Okay, go. Right, you ready?
Yeah. Can you come down with me? Is it on?
Oh, I think I think Sharon's the first one I can see there. You've got to show the Bible though, open at the right place. Okay. Very good, Sharon, very good. Okay. So, if you've never played sword drill, this is how it works. So, back underneath your arms. And draw your swords. All right, and Charlie's going to read out the next one here.
Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10.
And go. Okay. Jack, down at the back.
What was the verse again? Isaiah 54:10, yeah? Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you.
Very good, Jack. Thank you. Okay, a few more, okay. Got plenty of chocolate to give out, so back underneath our arms and draw. I'm ready for the next one.
Psalm chapter 36, verse 7.
Go. Doing a good job, Charlie.
Okay. Oh.
Jacob here, maybe?
How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wing.
Very good, Jacob. Well done. Okay, and we'll do one more. Okay, so final time. Underneath our arms. Draw. And our last one is?
1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 10.
Go. Oh, Emily.
In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him.
And first hand, sorry, as well.
In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Very good, Emily. Well done, folks. Thank you very much for participating.
thing to you now, but I just want to apologize to those people watching us on live stream. You will see the children's smiling faces, but you probably won't hear any sound. So apologies for that. Everyone here in church, we hope you will hear the sound.
Jesus told this story about a boy who ran away. Once upon a time, there was a dad and two sons. Now one day, the younger boy started to wander.
It would be pretty cool if I could have my share of my dad's money now. Then I wouldn't have my dad tell me what is good for me all the time. I'd definitely be happier. He's spoiling my fun. Does my dad really want me to be happy? Does my dad really love me?
The son had never thought of that before, but now he began to wonder about it more. Eventually, he went to his father and said,
"Dad, I'm better off without you. I can look after myself. Just give me my share of your money."
His father was sad, but he didn't force his boy to stay. So he gave his son what he wanted. Not long after, the son packed his bags and left for a country far, far away.
So the younger son took the money and went on a long, long journey to a far-off country, and everything was perfect for a while. He went to lots of parties, bought the latest trainers, one pair for every day of the week, bought a PlayStation 5, all the games, and decided to buy the latest Xbox Series X, the most powerful Xbox ever. He bought the newest iPhone 13 Pro Max. He did whatever he wanted and went wherever he chose. Sometimes he got a strange, hungry, homesick feeling inside his heart, but then he just ate more or drank more or bought more stuff or went to more parties to try and make himself feel better.
But soon his money ran out and so did his friends. Turns out they were true friends after all. At the same time, a bad famine swept over the land. And the fun time stopped, and he began to feel it. He ended up getting the only job he could find, feeding pigs. One day he was so hungry and so desperate, he even tried some piggy food.
"What am I doing? What have I done? I am here. My dad is rich, and here I am in a pigsty, eating piggy food. My dad's farm workers sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my dad. I'll say to him, 'Dad, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.'"
He got right up and headed home to his dad.
As he started for home, he began to worry that his dad wouldn't love him anymore. He felt anxious that he'd been too bad and his dad would reject him. So he practiced his "I'm sorry" speech. All this time, what he didn't know was that day after day, his dad had been standing on the porch, straining his eyes, looking in the distance, waiting for his son to come home. He just couldn't stop loving him. He longed for the sound of his son's voice. He knew he wouldn't feel happy until he got him back.
The son is still a long way off, but his dad saw him coming. What do you think that dad did? Fold his arms and frown, shout, "That'll teach you," and "Just you wait, young man." No, that's not how the story goes.
When the son was still a long way off, his dad saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, the dad leapt off the porch, raced down the hill, through the gap in the hedge, up the road. His heart was pounding. He ran out, embraced his son and kissed him.
"Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again."
Before the son could even finish his "I'm sorry" speech, his dad threw his arms around him and couldn't stop kissing him.
Quick, bring the best clean clothes, run a nice hot bath, prepare a warm bed, let's invite all our family and friends. We're having a party, light the barbecue, talk to Bake by Cory and send someone to M&S. We're going to have a wonderful time. This son of mine was dead and now he's returned to life. He was lost and now he's found, and they all began to have a wonderful time.
Working hard. When the day's work was finished, he came in. As he walked up to the house, he heard the music and dancing. Calling over one of the neighbours, he asked what was going on. He told him, "Your younger brother came home. Your dad has ordered a feast, including barbecued beef. All because he has him home safe and sound." The older brother stomped off in an angry sulk, stamping his foot, slamming the door. Slamming the door? And refused to join in. His dad came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The son said, "Look how many years I've stayed here slaving for you, helping you, never giving you one moment of trouble. But have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? No. But then my younger brother, who has wasted away your money on parties and food and travelling, shows up and you go all out with a feast, even barbecued beef." His dad said, "Son, you don't understand. You're with me all the time, and everything that is mine is yours. But this is a wonderful time, and we had to celebrate. This brother of yours was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and he is found."
Jesus told them, God is like the dad who couldn't stop loving his boy. Some people are like the youngest son who said, "Does my dad really want me to be happy?" Some people are like the older brother who can feel a little jealous when someone else gets a good thing they maybe don't deserve.
Jesus told the people this story to show them what God is like, and to show the people what they are like, so they could know, however far they ran, however well they hid, however lost they were, it wouldn't matter, because God's children could never run too far or be too lost for God to find them.
In Senior Arc, we like to learn different memory verses throughout the year. Memory verses are a great way to help us to remember some of the amazing promises that God has made to us, or an important reminder about who God is. This morning, we want to learn a memory verse together as a church family. Maybe a familiar verse for some, or maybe new for some of the kids, but still a great reminder for us all. And this verse is, "We love because he first loved us." 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. So what we're going to do is we're going to read it all together after three, okay? After three. One, two, three. "We love because he first loved us." 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Now we're going to do it, but we're going to do it really, really, really loud, okay? This is one of the kids' favorites, as you can imagine. So after three again, one, two, three.
"We love because he first loved us." 1 John chapter 4, verse 19.
Very good, very good. Boys and girls, whenever it says, he first loved us, can anyone tell me who this is talking about? Yes, Abigail?
He's talking about God.
God, perfect, yes. You see, God shows us love in many different ways. But this verse helps us to remember that God loved us first. But how did God show us this love first? God showed his love for us by sending Jesus to die for us on the cross and rise again so that we can be forgiven for the things that we do that we aren't meant to. Even as adults, we don't always get it right either. And we can't fix our own mistakes, but God could. Because we know of this love that God has for us, that helps us not just to keep it for ourselves, but to share that love that we have from God with other people. This verse helps us to remember the truth about God, not just as on a Sunday, but throughout the week, and hopefully for years to come, and to put into practice each day. Well, we've done it a few times now, so I think it's time to remove a few words, okay? So anyone who's got a number one on the back, can we drop that, and we'll see how we go. Okay, so we'll go after three. One, two, three. Very good, very good. Right, shall number two, if you've got number two in the back, shall we drop that down as well? See how the congregation get on, right? After three, one, two, three.
We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19.
Right, I think we've got it. So everyone put down your piece of paper and we're going to try one more time, okay? So after three, one, two, three. Very good, very good. But in the Ark, we enjoy a wee bit of friendly competition. So I've invited some of the parents to come up along with their kids to take on a Memory First challenge. So could I ask Jen and Hannah to come up first? Round of applause for Jen and Hannah. Okay, Jen and Hannah, can you face this way for a wee sec? And the boys and girls are going to move around and muddle up the Memory First on us, okay? Hannah, if you had to rate your mum's memory on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being she doesn't remember what day it is, and 10 being she doesn't forget anything, especially whenever you haven't tidied your room or anything like that, where would you put your mum?
3.9.
That extra 0.9 really makes a difference, Jen. Okay, so the boys and girls have muddled themselves up behind you, okay? And I'm going to get a stopwatch on my phone. And I'm going to time you to see how long it's going to take, okay? So, you move the people, okay? Yes, yes. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Right, 3, 2, 1, go! Stop. Okay. Hannah, that was very impressive. You must take after your dad with that sort of approach. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much. Okay. So I'll hold on to what time you got. I'll tell Lynn just because I think my memory's very bad. Okay, and I'm going to invite up the next ones. So can we have Johnny Patterson and can we have Noah, please? Round of applause. Okay, guys, so if yous can take a look this way as well. And boys and girls, can yous mix up again? So Noah, I'm going to ask you the same question, okay? How would you rate your dad's memory?
I don't know.
You don't know? Johnny, how would you rate your own memory?
It varies between day to day.
I think we all feel that at times. Okay, are you ready? Right, so you're moving people back in to order. I'll get my stopwatch up. 3, 2, 1, go!
I
Yep. Very good, folks. Very good. Very good. Right, and for our final competitors, so can we have Andrew and Gus? Okay, guys, if you want to move around again one final time. So, Gus, I know you like strategy games, okay? So I'm hoping that you've got a strategy for this. Hannah clearly did. She knew what she was doing. But how would you rate your dad's memory in this?
2, because he forgot how old I was.
We'll not ask you to confirm or deny that, so... Right. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Oh. Very good, guys. Well done. So, final scores in the door. Our winners with 17 seconds was Gus and Andrew. Very well done, very well done. Thank you, boys and girls, if you take a wee seat now.
So this is the part of the service which is probably going to get a bit interesting, is maybe one word to describe it. So sometimes in the ARC, it may seem like the kids may not always be listening very well during the story. And, you know, it wouldn't be like us adults ever not to have been listening to the sermon. Isn't that right, Ben? So to help us remember what happened during the story, in ARC we like to run various different quizzes. So this morning, fingers crossed, if technology allows us to participate, we're going to try an online quiz, okay, on the story of the lost son. This is the part of the service where you're going to need your smartphone, if it has internet. So you're going to need to get that out at this stage now. Don't worry if you don't have a smartphone. If you want to join a group in front or behind you, you're very welcome to do so you don't miss out. Young people, this might be the only time you're going to be allowed your phones out during church without being told off by your parents, so make the most of it. So the quiz will be run through the internet on a web page called Kahoot. So if you type the address at the top there, which is www.kahoot.it, it should take you to a website that doesn't look like it does on the screen. It'll take you to a website, but it has the words Kahoot on it. Once there, you're going to be asked for something known as a game pin, which is up on the screen behind me. So in this case, it's 6538247. Once you've typed that in, it'll ask you to click enter. So you click enter once, and it'll ask you to then enter your name or a nickname, okay? Once you've typed in your name or nickname, it'll ask you to click enter again. And then you'll be logged in, ready to play. And to tell if you're ready to be logged in to be able to play, your name should come up on the screen, okay? I realize there's a lot of information there to take in. So if you have successfully logged in, what I would ask you to do is speak to the people beside you, in front or behind, just to make sure they've got logged in okay themselves. We're going to try sort this. So this is why it was fingers crossed with technology allowing. So if you give us maybe a minute or two, we'll see if we can fix it quickly. But if not, what we'll do is we can run the quiz, and if we use, just call out what you think the answer is, okay? So while the tech team are working on this to see if we can maybe get it over the line, yeah, we're going to move on to our next song, and our song is We Are the Church, so if we stand and sing together.
Jesus Christ, who house, which is probably just as well. Anyway, we've got, I don't know what happens in your house whenever the washing gets done. What happens when after the washing gets done? What happens next after washing? You have to get it dried. Yeah. Where do you get it dried?
In a dryer.
In a dryer. You'll not know what this is then. Okay. But some... I need a hand. Johnny, could you do a really good job here? Could you pretend to be a pole? Right? Okay. Pretend to be a pole and hang on to that. This is called a washing line. And for washing lines, you need these very fancy things here. Probably haven't got one of these in your house either. A peg, yes. You need a washing line and a peg. Well, I'm going to need some washing lines and some pegs this morning. I'm going to need something else that I've left in my seat, so hang on a minute. Don't do anything just yet. Yeah. Washing lines, some pegs, and some pictures. But hey, I've been looking around at everybody and thinking, you know, there's some smiley, happy faces, and I'm looking at Chris over there. What's wrong, Chris? You're not happy. Oh, my goodness. Tell me about
it. Sorry, I heard that there.
How's the football going? Is it going good?
It's not going good. No, it's not. Oh. Not happy.
Great. Is that why you're not happy?
Yeah.
Tell me you haven't scored any goals recently.
I haven't scored a couple of goals in, 3 weeks because of Chris Pollock.
Is that? Yeah.
Haven't done any run or have you left me there as well?
Well, is that the real problem then? Just you're not scoring goals?
No. End of month, there's the over 25s, under 25s match. And Craig's managing it, over 25s, you know. But, like, he's telling Johnny all the tips and all the rules about the football and how to get back and don't be biting anybody and don't be kicking them and, you know, like, the offside rules. I know the rules. I've played football for a long time.
So Craig's spending all his time talking to Johnny Bell, giving him wee tips and things, and there's you, and you know all the rules.
Yeah.
And he's not talking to you at all?
No. Johnny getting all the attention. Like, Newcastle fan. Sure, what's he know about rules?
Well, exactly. Yes, no. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I can understand why you're a wee bit unhappy with that. Listen, I'll tell you what. Craig's down there. You can have a word with him.
I'll maybe save it for later.
Yeah. Have a word with him after, you know, and see what he can do about that. Do you know, the Bible tells us about some people who are just a little bit like grumpy Chris there. You see, what was Chris's problem? Chris's problem was that he thought he knew all the rules. He does know all the rules of football. And he thinks he's probably really quite good at playing football. But there's the team manager, and he's spending all his time talking to Johnny Bell, giving him tips and things. And really, if it really boils down to it, Chris doesn't really think that Johnny's the sort of person that the manager ought to be talking to. He probably thinks he ought to be coming and having a word with him, finding out what he knows, what he does. But it might surprise you to know that there are people in the Bible who are just a bit like Chris. You see, I've got a picture of one of them here. Hold on, there we go. There we go. What did I do with the rest? Oh, there's a pig. Yeah. I think we'll call him Grumpy George. Now, he isn't actually called Grumpy George in the Bible because we don't know what his name was, but he was one of those people who really liked to follow the rules. In fact, God had given them rules that would help his people stay close to him, help his people live the sort of life that pleased him. And some people got really, really interested in the rules. They learned all the rules, tried to make sure they kept all the rules. They even started to make extra rules to make sure that there was no way that they'd get any of the rules wrong. In fact, they even started making rules about how you keep the rules. And Grumpy George was one of those. And he wasn't very happy with Jesus. I think I better put my pegs out on the floor here. So, there you are. A bit like our story. Grumpy George wasn't very happy with Jesus. Why? Well, basically, he thought that Jesus was spending all his time with the wrong sort of people. You see, George was a very good rule follower, and Jesus was spending all his time with people who weren't very good rule followers. In fact, didn't really care about the rules at all sometimes. And there was Jesus spending his time talking to the people who weren't following the rules, and he thought that he did follow all the rules, and maybe he followed rules and probably thought that he probably should impress God a wee bit with the way he was a good rule follower. And that's what happened before Jesus told a story. And it was the story that Jesus told was the ones that the kids from the Ark told us this morning. It's a story about a father, a son, and a brother. And that's the story that we're going to think about just now. Because Jesus told the story for a reason. He told the story because he wanted George to understand what God was really like. To understand what God's love was really like. And he wanted all the other people who were listening to him to understand that too. And also to understand what people are like. So let's just see if we can remember what was in the story. Okay, have a look at the picture. Now, what does the picture tell you? Well, that's the picture of the son who was running away. Here, he's in a boat. He was going on a journey. He's packed his bag. He's got it on his shoulder. He's ready to go. And if you were listening very carefully earlier on, you'll realize that there was a bit of a conversation went on before that. Because you see, the runaway son went to his dad and he said, well, really, basically he said, Dad, I don't want to live here any longer. I don't want to live life with you. I want to go off on my own. I don't really like following all your rules. I'd like to try out some of my own rules. I'd like to do things my way. His father didn't stop him from going. He was really sad. He was disappointed. But the runaway son got on the boat, packed his bag, took his money, and off he went. And things went well at the beginning. Lots of money. What he did, he bought things. He went to parties. He had lots of friends. He was very popular. But it didn't end very well. It didn't end very well because, well, why? What had happened? He ran out of money. Yes, his money ran out. And after his money ran out, his friends ran out. And what did he end up doing next? He ended up living in a pigsty, feeding the pigs. There they are. There he is, right in the middle of them, in the pigsty, feeding the pigs. And he was so hungry, he even would have eaten the stuff the pigs were eating. So he went off on his own. It all started well. It ended up badly. And in all of that time, he probably was seeing things, doing things, saying things that he would have been ashamed of if his father had known. All those sorts of things he wouldn't really want to go home and talk about. And he was getting further and further away from living close to what his father would have wanted him to live like. I suppose if, remember, Jesus was telling the story to those rule keepers and to those rule breakers, and I wonder if he stopped the story at that point. I can imagine Grumpy George and his friends going, ah, yeah, you see, that's the end of what happens when you don't keep the rules. Yeah, he got what he deserved. And I can sort of imagine that maybe the rule breakers that Jesus was spending time with and talking to, I can imagine maybe they were saying, I think that's a bit like me. maybe it's a bit like all of us. Because you see, there's more than one way to sort of pack your bags and run away from God. Sometimes we pack our bags and run away from God simply by not doing the things that we know he wants us to do, not living the way he wants us to live, not following his life, not living life with him. So when it got to that bit in the story, well, do you remember what we heard earlier? What did happen next? Well, what happened next was that the runaway son stopped and thought and decided, I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to do things differently. And he began to wonder, began to think about what life with his father had been like, and began to wonder whether or not he could go back. Would his father take him back? He'd done an awful lot of stuff that he wasn't very proud of. Maybe his father wouldn't love him anymore. But he practiced his I'm sorry, Dad sort of story, ready to go back home. And he started his way back home. And the next bit of the story was a real shock to all the people who were listening. Because Grumpy George down there, he was thinking, well, that'll be interesting to see what happens when he gets home. And maybe the people who were the rule breakers who were listening, they were maybe saying, ooh, I don't know how that's going to go. He turns up back home with his dad. But you see, none of them realized that all the time his dad had been watching and waiting and looking and hoping that his son would come home. You see, he didn't stop him going, but he really, really wanted him to come back. He wanted him to come back and live life with him again. So his dad, as soon as he saw him on his way back home, he ran to meet him. He was ready to welcome him back, right back into his family again. The son, he didn't even get a chance to practice the speech that he'd practiced. He didn't get a chance to say all the things he thought he was going to say because his father said he was welcome back again. Jesus told the story because he wanted Grumpy George and all the other people who were listening to him wanted to understand something about what they were like and to realize that, yeah, all of them had not really lived their life close to God. Yeah, some of them had followed the rules better than others, but there were things that they were doing that were taking them away from the life that God wanted them to have. So they were in the story sort of like the runaway son. And God was in the story too, and he was like the father who was welcoming them home. What Jesus was trying to tell Grumpy George and others was God's love was big and enormous and generous. And it wasn't possible to be so lost that God's love couldn't find him. It wasn't possible to be so far away that God's love couldn't reach him. It wasn't even possible to be so ashamed of the things that he had done that God's love couldn't cover that and make him feel welcome and not guilty. So there he is. He arrived home, and his father welcomed him and brought him back into the family and said, yep, we're going to celebrate because you're here with us. We want you to come home. That's not the end of the story. Because, you see, it's a story about a father, a son, and a brother. And there he was, out in the fields, working hard, living his life with his father all along. He'd been watching what his father did. He'd been spending time with him. He'd been talking to him, been learning how to do the job. And now everything was going to change. Because now this brother, who had disgraced everybody, was now home. And his father was welcoming, and he didn't really understand it. You see, the brother didn't really understand the father either. So the runaway son didn't think that he could be welcomed back. And the stay-at-home son probably didn't think that he should be welcomed back. And he needed to understand what God's love was really like, what his father's love was really like, how it could be so big that it couldn't be possible for his runaway brother to be beyond being brought back into the family. Family life was going to change. Family life was going to change because now this brother was home. And things were going to be different. And his father wanted his son, his stay-at-home son, to be like him. His love to be big and wide and generous. And to learn to live his life with his father and his brother together in the way that we, like a church family, live our lives together. From lots of different things and backgrounds and lots of different things that we've done, we all come together. Not because we've kept all the rules and not because we've earned it. The thing that really Grumpy George and maybe all the other people had forgotten was that God's love was a gift. And you don't earn gifts. You have to accept them. You have to take them. And that's what this important picture here, this one, whenever the runaway son realized that he needed to change his ways of going, turn around and start doing things differently, that was the point where changed. I wonder if you looked at those pictures, I wonder, can you see yourself in any of those pictures? Maybe more than one of those pictures. You can imagine something that relates to what you do and the life that you live now here at home with your family, here in St. Bede Road with your church family. Well, that's the sort of end of the story. And actually, if you think about it, we've been singing about some of those big ideas, some of those ideas about God's love for us, welcoming us back. Now, that's the end of that story. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen next, because I got moved up the batting order. So, Kyle. Okay, back to Kyle. Thanks, Johnny.
Before we begin, please lift the pages and pencil from under your seat. We know that in order to have a good relationship with God, we should talk to him. In Senior Arc, we talk a lot about talking to God, and we know we can do this in lots of different ways. We can do this in a quiet place with closed eyes, we can do it in the classroom with our eyes open, and we can shout out loud to him as we ride our bikes. Prayer can be thoughtful words spoken inwardly, letters we write, or pictures we draw. This morning, we would like you to join us in our ARC prayer method, which is inspired by Pete Grigg. This morning's prayer will be delivered in four parts by four of our ARC members, and we invite you to listen carefully and keep up. During the first prayer, we will ask you to close your eyes, pause, and seek God in the silence. During our second prayer, we will say thank you as a group with our eyes closed. Please be aware that you will be invited to open your eyes and draw something you are thankful for on this page. Please have your prayer notes and pens ready. We will collect these prayers on your way out this morning and display them on our prayer wall. The third prayer will allow us to ask for a variety of things. We will ask God to help us, help others, and forgive us. We will have eyes open and closed during this time. Please be ready to use your prayer notes as you will be invited to write something down you're sorry for and you'll have the chance to throw it in the bin. In our fourth and final prayer, we will say yes. We want to follow you, Jesus. Can you please help us?
Let us pray together. Help us to be still and know that you are there, God. Thank you for being with us in the deepest and the most of profound of ways. Help us to sense you're here with us now.
Thank you, God. Thank you for all we have. Thank you for our families. Thank you for time together and the fun stuff that we do. Thank you for our homes, for a safe place to sleep and good food to eat. Thank you for school and work, for opportunities to learn and reflect your love to the people around us. Thank you for our church. Thank you that we can be together and share you. Thank you for the support we can give each other as we figure out how to live in this world. Thank you for your love that we experience in all kinds of different ways every day. We ask you now to open your eyes and locate your prayer notes and specifically your picture frame page. And now, as we stay in a place of reflection, we invite you to think about something you experienced in the past few days that you would like to thank God for. Perhaps this was an interaction with someone. Perhaps it was being outside and a chance to experience creation. Perhaps it was an opportunity to serve God by serving someone else. Have a think and draw this now in the next couple of silent minutes. God, we thank you for all the good things you have given us.
Let's pray. God, we need you. We need you to help us with our everyday, ordinary lives. Help us with the small things and the big things. Help us with our family. Help us to work at positive relationships. Help us to treat each other with love and respect. Help us at school and at work. Help us with the stuff we find tricky. Help us to be brave, to muster courage and keep on going. Help us with our thoughts. Help us to be kind to ourselves. Help us to talk to people who can help us. Help us to remember that you're with us. Help us to remember others and to pray for them. Be with vulnerable people all over the world. Help them to know your peace and comfort and love. We ask that you will be with world leaders, strengthen them, work in their hearts so that they might bring change for your people. Be with those who are ill and those who are with them. Help them to experience your love and comfort. Be with those who are doing exams. Grant them perseverance. Help them to keep on going and give their best. God, we ask for forgiveness. Help us to identify the things we do that are wrong and to try better. We invite you to now think of something you're sorry for, maybe something in the past week, and to write it down on your I'm sorry page. We ask you to do it quietly and still in a place of prayer. And then crumple it up when you're finished. God, we thank you for your forgiveness. Help us to forgive ourselves.
God, thank you for your invitation to follow you. Help us to do this the best we can. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing our closing praise. Your love never fails.
Stronger than the power.
Well, just as we end here, there's a couple of things I want to say. Actually, the first one is to ask. So if we've got pictures, where do we put those? Put on the box on the way out, and if we've got rubbish, put them on the bin on the way out. Great, super, thank you. I want to begin by saying a big thank you. A big thank you. First of all, I want to say all you guys sitting at the front here, and all the leaders too, thank you so much for leading us in our worship. And for others too who have played such a part. I love this Sunday. Well, I love this Sunday because partly I've done nothing all weekend. It's great, isn't it? But much more than that, I turn up and I'm ministered to. And from the youngest, people help us to learn, help us to pray, help us to worship together. Guys, we're so thankful for that. We really appreciate it. For all those who have organized that too, and a huge amount of organization has gone into putting that together in preparation. We're so grateful. So can we give folks just a big round of applause and appreciation for that? Thank you. But maybe on the back of that, and there's another big clap coming here. Guys, you will know how great your leaders and teachers are week upon week. So we get a bit of an insight as to what ARC and JCB and Bible class is like as we do this. But week after week, as children and leaders head out, so much goes on in terms of Bible teaching and fellowship and growing and discipleship. Now, we as a congregation, every time there's a baptism, we make a vow. And we vow that we will order our church life so that these children will grow in faith among us. And you know who takes on a big brunt of that vow for us is all these leaders and teachers. So this is a great opportunity at this point in the year just to say a huge thank you to you all, not just for organizing our ARC, our children's service, but for all you do week upon week so that actually all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, may grow in discipleship together. So a big thank you. Actually, let's just do this for a moment. If you're a teacher or a leader in any way, from the youngest up to Bible class, just stand up for a wee minute, would you? Great. Lots of people at the front here. Lots of people are doing fabulous actions earlier on as well. You just didn't get to see it. Folks, let's just say thank you with a big round of applause to all these folks and many more. Thank you. Thank you. Great. And Johnny, I think it's right in saying as well, it's on the announcements, there's a big barbecue, a big thank you for anybody involved in children and youth on the 23rd of June, that's right, from 6 to 7:30. So sign up for that. There's a little form, online form to sign up. You'll find that. I'll speak to Johnny or Jill about that. Just very briefly, some announcements before we head out for a picnic or whatever we're heading to. First Tuesday break is happening this Tuesday. It's our trip to Hillsborough Castle, so people have booked in for that, but don't forget, if you've booked in for that, that's happening this Tuesday, and you'll have instructions from Jean about that. Secondly, on Wednesday, our CSSM SISM prayer meeting, so all the churches involved and the SISM leaders are meeting at Cairnshill Methodist, which is over in that direction, and that's at 7:30 in Cairnshill on a Wednesday, so come and pray for all the churches and for SISM on Wednesday at 7:30. Two more things. Also, next Sunday, don't forget our Christian Aid Walk. Just turn up and come and walk with Ian. He'll give you instructions if you don't know where you're going to Sleeve Croob. So come along and walk and come and sponsor those who are walking and come and enjoy that after the service next Sunday morning. Two things just looking further ahead to let you know about. One is on this Saturday, there's a Belfast Friendship Festival for all those who have newly come to our island from Hong Kong and who are living around here. Run by Welcome Churches. It's happening here at St. Phil Road next Saturday, the 18th, from 3 till 5. It'd be lovely if people wanted to come and turn up for a bit of that and just welcome others. So a whole number of Christians from different churches, and that could and should well include ours too, are coming here. There's going to be a bouncy castle. There's going to be food, authentic food from Hong Kong. There's going to be face painting. There's going to be crafts. There's going to be games. There's going to be music. A really fun afternoon to welcome folks here. So come along to that and enjoy that next Saturday from 3 till 5. And then I'll say more about this again, but on the 30th of June, the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, LICC, and we've used some of their resources here, and they're great. They talk about whole life discipleship. A big evening happening in Belfast on the 30th of June from 7:30 till 9:00. people will be speaking and talking about the vision of LICC, which has been going for 40 years, so they're touring around the UK. Also, their chief executive, Paul Woolley, is coming to speak here on the 3rd of July, so we can hear and see all that on the 30th of June, but also hear him speak on the 3rd of July. Let me mark those in your diary. I think that's all we want to say. I've brought my picnic. I hope you have too. We'll join in the glorious sunshine. It's quite warm outside. Come and sit outside and enjoy time together. If you have to go, you have to go, but even come and have a bit of a chat outside for a bit. Let me end with some words of benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless. Go well.